Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled Love and Fear. We live in a time when the word fear is so common because there are so many things going on around the world that we constantly deal with the word fear. But also, we see in crisis always love manifested. Love is all over the place also. If we see these dedicated doctors and nurses and police officers and people that are exposing themselves, put their lives at risk, you are to show love and caring for those that are in need. Yes, we need to see there is a place where love is replacing fear. The text that we chose for this morning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, actually, I divide this text in four different parts. Part A, what I call Part A, is a statement that says there is no fear in love. That in itself made me think deeply. I need to go back to my Bible. I need to re-study this concept because it's so deep. There is no fear in love. Even though it seems simplistic, but it's not. It's very deep. And then part B, it says, but perfect love drives out fear. And there's a qualifier for love here. It's just not any love, but it says perfect love drives out fear. And then there is a third part which says, because fear expects punishment. Why fear exists? What a punishment has anything to do with fear? The word that comes to our mind is consequences. Every time there is consequences, and then fear comes in. And the final part, which is the person who is afraid or he is captivated by fear, has not been made perfect in love. So today's message is really about the conflict between love and fear. If we like to define what fear is, there are so many definitions. There are so many different types of fear. I look for in a psychiatry website. I look for a list of fears. There is more than 100, and it keeps growing by daily. It keeps growing. Every time somebody shows up and says, "I'm afraid of something," here are the doctors create a new terminology to define. They use some Latin prefix and some. Parts of Greek, and they create a new name for a new disease, a new type of fear, and they are multiplied like a disease. It is a disease. So in Genesis 3:15, there is a text that some people do not relate that to fear, but it is. It says that God established enmity between love and fear, between good and bad. The conflict started. You see, it was with Adam and Eve, our first parents, that fear was born. It was born when they invited sin into our world. When sin came to the world, the first thing that sin did is to give birth to fear. And fear has been multiplied like a pest since then. It has become one of mankind's most destructive emotions of all the emotions that we may be able to feel. Our society today is overwhelmed with the fear, what I call the fear family, because it's a family that multiplies like rabbits. It multiplies daily. Most fears are basic survival fears or pain avoidance fears. But one thing that is fear is very destructive is because fear is literally a fruit of a mind. It is born, is conceived in our minds, and sometimes it destroys the whole body by using the mind. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and we're going to read only verse 7 until 10. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I'm going to use New King James for this verse as a basis for our reading. And it says here in verse 7, then the eyes of both, of course referring to Adam and Eve, were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they pick up some fig leaves and make something to cover themselves with. And they heard, and pay a close attention, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking the garden. By the way, they heard that before. And when they heard that before, they would jump for joy and let's see Daddy, let's see Abba. And they were all very happy when Abba came to pay them a visit and to worship with them. It was a family reunion. Everything was fine, but this time was different. This time they heard the sound of Abba walking. And they decide to hide. Why? Because at this time, they had something else in their lives. It was not there before until they disobeyed. Before they disobeyed, they had no idea what fear was. But now fear has been brought into their lives by sin. Verse 9 says, then God, the Lord God, called them and said to them, where are you? Give them a chance to respond. So verse 10, they respond. It says, oh, we heard your voice in the garden, and we were afraid. And here is a terrible word, because we were naked, and we hide ourselves because we are naked. Have you noticed? It says, we heard, we were afraid, then we hide. Three things that goes. We hear, and instead of acting towards God, we walk away from God. And that's what sin does, and that's what sin did. But the counsel from Paul, the hero of our children's message this morning, very nice message. I believe that the children and the adults enjoy very much. Thank you, Brother Kisaka and the family, Kisaka family. We realize that you folks have a very unique and wonderful skills. We need to explore those skills a little bit more for the benefit of our church and glory to God. Colossians, I can hear the whole church say amen to that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, a New Century Version. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, in a New Century Version. I read like this. God has chosen you, my brother and sister, and made you his holy people. He loves you. So you should always clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Have you noticed that Paul is talking about how we should dress ourselves? We should dress ourselves with God's character attributes. Those are God's glory, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Basically, what Paul is saying here, we need to dress like God. Not with the fig leaves, not with something made by human hands, but we need to take God's character and bring his glory and dress ourselves with. In 1998, quite a few years ago, there was a survey taken in Brent, England. And this survey was published by the British Journal of Psychiatry. They took more than 8,000 participants and asked them questions about fear. And they decided to make a list of the most common fears that these people respond to. Number one on the list was fear of heights. We can all relate to that to some extent. Then there is number two was the fear of flying. I still remember the first time I got into an airplane. It was frightening because how that huge piece of metal and aluminum and all that stuff could be so heavy, can stay floating on the air. It was very unique, but it was fear of flying. Then number three, fear of spiders. Or we, yeah, basically we all fear those little things. They, especially the black widows, you know, if they sting you, you can be very painful. Number four, fear of thunder and lightning. I told you before, when I was very little, I live in a home state in Brazil that it rains a lot, sometimes for 30 days without stopping. And believe me, the thunder and the lightning, it was just like it was just 10 feet away from the roof of our house. It was so loud, scary. And I remember sometimes we would try to hide under the blankets. And it was so scary. One day, our aunt noticed that we are so scared. So she came to talk to her sons and myself. She came to our bed and says, "Don't you worry. All this noise that you hear is because God is rearranging his furniture in heaven." In my little mind and in our minds, that brought us some kind of a tranquility. Many, many, many years, I'm not going to tell how many, but many, many years old later, every time I hear thunder, we don't hear a lot of here in California, but every time we hear thunder and lightning, that thing came to my mind. Oh, this is God rearranging his furniture in heaven. Of course, we know that that's not true, but at least in the mind of a child, that brought me peace. And from that point on, I never was ever afraid of thunder and lightning again, because thank God, at that time of my life, my concept of God was a positive one. I always believed that God was a nice guy, that he was good. So I didn't have any trouble from that point on allowing him to rearrange his furniture in heaven. Number five on the list was a fear of being alone. It's amazing. Sometimes people are surrounded by people and they're still alone. To be alone is a terrifying thing because we are created to be a social being. We need each other. Number six on the list was a fear of to be among the crowd or in a crowded space. I mean, a small space. Number seven was a fear of blood. Number eight was listed as a fear of water. Yeah, I can relate to that. I was almost got killed twice in drowning. One, I was even unconscious, and I was brought back to life. Believe me, it can be scary. Number nine, fear of snakes. I think all of us. If you are not afraid of snakes, maybe something is wrong with you. And of course, fear of animals in general. Now, on the list also, they include some very unusual fears. Can you believe that somebody is afraid of chickens? Then somebody, this was awkward. Somebody even fear of names, any name, fear of names. And here's another one, fear of beards, you know, people with a beard. Now, I can understand some children be afraid of that. Then fear of crowds. Yeah, especially if you live in a place that there's a lot of thunder, a lot of rain. Maybe crowds can be an issue. What about fear of ice or fear of cold? But one of the most, I think number one, the most strange one, what it says is phobophobia, which means fear of fears. President Franklin Roosevelt became very, one of his statements that became very famous is when he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." First time I heard that, it didn't make any sense to me, but now it does. According to qualified mental health professionals, if you ask them, what is the best way to treat fear? They will tell you that the best and most effective way to treat fear is what they call the exposure therapy. During the exposed therapy, you work with a psychologist, to learn how to desensitize yourself. So in other words, basically they say you have to face your fears. You have to touch the object, or you have to be present in the situation that caused you to have such a fear. But today is not just about fear. Today we're going to be talking about the contrast between fear and love. And when we talk about love, love is so complex. I don't think nobody really knows how to define love, because every single person, every single dictionary, every single website that you visit to look for a definition, you can never find a precise definition of what love is, because love is complex. It is a mix of emotions, behaviors, and even beliefs. It is associated with the strong feelings of affection, warmth, respect for one another. The Greeks have at least four different words to describe different aspects, different faces of what love is. One they call the familial love, which is the love between a parent and their children, or vice versa. And then they have the philia, where they come Philadelphia, phileos, which is the friendship love. And also they have a word for eros, for the romantic love between a husband and wife, a woman and a man. But the real word for love that the Bible used to describe God's love is agape, which is unconditional love. And that is the love that the Bible is talking about. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the scripture for today is 18. This is 4, verse 8. I'm reading from the complete Jewish Bible. This gives me, in my opinion, the best definition of what love is. Even though it's complex, but in some extent helps me to understand my need of love and the existence of love in my life and how meaningful love is for my own existence. Because it says, those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. Notice the word, the verb to know. To know means in the Bible to have a relationship, that kind of relationship between a husband and wife, an intimate relationship. So if we read this again, it says, those who do not love are the ones who have not intimate relationship with God. People who do not have any relationship whatsoever with God. That's why they do not know what love is, because God is love. In other words, if you know God, you know what love is. Now let's address the first portion of the scripture for today. There is no fear in love. That's what John has stated, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Basically, John is saying here, love and fear are opposites. Most in our society try to make arrangements for those two to exist, coexist. But the Bible goes to a point that says they cannot coexist. In love, there is no place for fear, period. John is not saying in this text that love diminishes the hold of fear in us. As long as we live in a sinful world, fear will be always present in our life one way or the other. The only way to drive out fear is with love. John also is not saying that love makes fear appear less desirable to us, or that love is better than fear. What the word of God through John is telling us is that love and fear are enemies. They're opposites. They do not belong together, period. Don't try to find a sophisticated explanation and justification for you to hold on to both love and fear, because one will eliminate the other. What God wants us to tell us is that the more we love, the less we will fear. And the more we fear, the less we'll be able to love. This connection between love and fear should not be taken lightly by anyone. According to scriptures, this is the conflict between life and death. What about the so-called the fear of God? As I was studying for this message today, I realized there are hundreds of expressions in some versions of the Bible about the fear of God. And I must confess to all of you, that throughout my ministry, I always, when somebody says, "Pastor, what is the fear of the Lord?" It, for some people in their simple mind, it didn't make any sense. How do you associate the word fear and God in the same sentence? And the typical person, when we ask pastors or church members, the typical, and probably all of you right now will be thinking about the exactly the same thing. It says, "Oh, no, Pastor, fear here doesn't mean fear being afraid of. It means to respect God." I think we are trying to water down things, because if you look at where those sentences are, the background of the first 39 books of the Bible, and you see that God is destroying the whole world according to the narrative of the Old Testament, the whole world with water, that the God sent pestilence upon a country because the country must let his people go, and that God sent fire to destroy two cities in the villages around. That is a terrifying view of God. And that is the view, for some extent, on that cultural background of the first 39 books of the Bible. As we move to the last 27 books of the Bible, we see less and less of that same view of the person of God. And what made the difference is Jesus Christ. There is the difference so distinctive between the view of God in the first 39 books and the view of God in the last 27 that allows some Christians, some so-called Christians today, even to completely reject the God of the, what they call the God of the Old Testament, and all his anger, his destructive powers and everything else. But they says our God is Jesus. And they even go to another extreme. They say, this Jesus, this new God that we have, this real God, with him, we don't even have, you see, instead of 10 or 100, 300 commandments, all he has is two: love, love, love. Love God, love a human being. That's all about love. You can eat whatever you want. You can go to church whatever day you choose. You can do as you please, and no matter what, This is so good, so different than the other one, you know, that a mean Jewish God, this God that we have now, there's no chance that anybody's going to be lost. And that's why they gave birth to the satanic doctrine they call universalism, that everybody, there's no consequence, there's no accountability. Whatever you do, once saved, always saved, and here comes Jesus. And he'll take everybody. And he's leaving somebody's behind. Don't worry, he's coming back to take. Nobody's going to be left behind. I believe all of you have heard those things. So they project two gods. One that is mean and must be rejected with all his rules. And another one that's so nice that he has no rules. How interesting that when the Bible talks about the fear of God, actually, the Bible is talking about, in some versions of the Bible that chose to use the terminology, the fear of God, they actually implying that we have to be afraid of the God because of our sins. Because we are sinful, we must fear the judgment. And there are some Pentecostal churches that you can hear the preacher say, and the anger of God and the wrath of God, and they talk to put fear in the congregation. They put the holy fear of God, which is nothing holy about fear. That's when 1 John chapter 4, 18 comes across as very revealing. But it says, love and fear cannot coexist. So let me read Proverbs 2, verse 1, all the way to 6 in a New Century Version. And if you do have your Bible in a different version, you see in verse 5, the difference between the Bible that I'm going to read from and the Bible that you may, the version that you may have. And by the way, there are hundreds of verses that are, is exactly the same thing, where the word fear is replaced in a different version with another word. My child, listen to what verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 2. My child, listen to what I say and remember what I command you. Listen carefully to wisdom. Set your mind on understanding. Cry out for wisdom and beg for understanding. Search for wisdom like silver and hunt for wisdom like hidden treasure. And here comes verse 5. Then you will understand respect for the Lord. And you will find that you know God. Just like John, respect obedience. Respect here means to obedience. Then you will understand obedience to the Lord. And you will find that you know God if you obey him. Only the Lord gives wisdom. He gives knowledge and understanding. And if you, from the same version, New Century Version, you read Psalms 111, verse 10, it says, wisdom begins with obedience to the Lord, respect to the Lord. Those who obey his commandments have good understanding. Let me read it again. Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord, obedience to the Lord. Those who obey his commandments have good understanding. In Proverbs 14, verse 27, New Century Version also says, respect for the Lord gives life. In other words, obedience to God gives life. And that is the concept that you find in the New Testament. Obedience to God. If you keep my commandments, you love me. Remember what Jesus says? It is like a fountain that can save people from death. What is the fountain that can give save people from death? Obedience to God. Relationship with God. If you embrace life, which God is life, you have life. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Now, Israel, this is what the Lord your God wants you to do. You must respect the Lord your God and do what he has told you to do. Again, the emphasis in obedience, in relationship. Love him. Serve the Lord your God with your whole being, your whole life. This is the New Century Version, Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Brothers and sisters, true love for God is evident by the presence of obedience in our hearts. And where there is obedience, there is no place for fear. Can you imagine a child that was told not to touch something, and then the parent walked to another room, and the child, out of curiosity, goes in touch, and the whole jar comes down and falls to the ground and breaks and makes a loud noise, and here comes the parents. Can you imagine the face of that little child with the fear? Fear did not come because they are afraid of their parents. Fear comes because of the disobedience and the consequence of disobedience. Part 2, it says, but perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. Genesis 1, verse 27, New Living Translation says, so God created human beings, you and I, in his own image. In the image of God himself, he created us. Male and female, he created us. So what that means is God, when we created, God is stamped on us his character, his will. As Paul says, he put in our hearts by nature his laws. The law of God, if you can resume the whole law in one word, that word will be love. So that is the greatest commandment, love. Love to God, love to human, but it's love. So the character of God is love. So when God created us in his image, he created us to love, not to fear. Sin came and cause damage to their love. Psalms 33, verse 18, in a common English Bible. But look here, the Lord's eyes watch all who honor him. Some of your version will say fear him. No, it has nothing to do with fear. It has to do with honor him by obeying him. Let me read again. By look here, the Lord's eyes watch all who honor him, all who wait for his faithful love. Oh, I like this version so much. Common English Bible, Psalms 33, verse 18. Now, Proverbs 19:23, contemporary English version says, showing respect to the Lord bring to life. In other words, obedience to God's precepts brings to life. If you do it, you can relax without fear of danger. That's what it says. Luke 1, verse 50, New Century Version. God will show his mercy forever and ever to those who worship and serve him. Psalms 86, verse 11, New Century Version also. Lord, teach us, teach me. What do you want me to do? And I will live by your truth. Teach me to respect you completely. I know some of your versions say, teach me to fear you completely, to be afraid of you. No, not necessarily. It says, teach me to obey you completely, to respect you completely. John 14, verse 6. We all are very familiar with this when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, if you see me, Philip, you see God, God and I is just one. Oh, I know that you, what you have been told about that God that is mean old. No, I came here to show you really who the Father is, who God is. In John 1 John 2, verse 3 to 6, look what John tells about how to know God. Now, by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, again, obedience and relationship, love and obedience, knowing, relationship, and obedience. He who says, verse 4, I know him and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Just like he said in chapter 4, 1 John, by this we know that we are in him. He who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In Matthew chapter 7, in a Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus made it very clear in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Basically what Jesus Christ is saying, those that loves, truly loves my Father in heaven are the ones who does his will. And I can guarantee you those that does God's will have no fear in them because love is what makes them obedient. The fourth part of the verse says, the person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. Brothers, let me repeat this again. John says, the person who is afraid, or the person who is being controlled by fear, or the person who is feeding fear inside of them, has not been made perfect in love yet. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, in New Century Version, Paul says this, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid or be controlled by fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Romans 8, verse 15, in New Century Version, Paul addressed that again. He says, the spirit we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. You know, that same fear that makes us slave on the first portion of the Bible, he says, now we, when Jesus Christ came, he showed us the real Father. And now we don't have to become slaves of that kind of fear, because we don't need to fear God, in a sense, being afraid of God. We need just to obey him and develop a loving relationship with him. He says here, it makes us children of God. That's Paul saying. With that spirit, we cry out, Father, Abba, Abba, Father. In Psalms 34, verse 4, New King James Version says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Brothers and sisters, if fear is controlling part of your life, it's because part of your life is not claimed by our Lord yet. The Lord needs to completely claim your whole heart, your whole mind, in order for you to be the deliverer of all fears. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, in the New King James, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Again, obedience, sanctification, obedience to God's, that kind of love. Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. A man decided to walk from coast to coast, from the east to the west. He decided to go walking through this whole country. And he walked for days and months. So finally, some place that he passed through, some cities, they put him on the news and they kept track of his travel. Finally, he arrived in the West Coast. Here come some reporters to interview him. And the reporters ask him, sir, in such a long journey, what have you found that it has been the most difficult for you to endure? To the surprise of the reporter and everybody else that were there celebrating this event, they become surprised because the man did not mention that it was the steep mountains that he has to, very exhausting, have to go over, or the cold in some weathers, or the scorching desert heat that had troubled him. It was not people or anything else, but something very small that he said that bothered him throughout his whole journey. And they said, what is it? What is it? And he said, some grains of sand on my shoes. Yes, brothers and sisters, those tiny little pebbles, tiny little things, not the mountains, not the people, not the weather. What bothered him the most was those tiny little grains of sand on his shoes. Let me give you five facts about the scripture that we read for this morning, the scripture reading for this morning. Fact number one, the Greek word for fear here, it says, for love is the Greek word for agape. In this verse, the Greek word for fear is phobos, means all types of fear. But the word that John decides to use to describe love is the agape, God's love. Fact number two, there is no T fear in agape. In God's love, there's no fear. There's no fear in God's love. Number three, perfect agape, perfect love. Totally, and I mean totally, cast out all fears. Love and fear cannot coexist. Fact number four, perfect love, which is the agape love, does to fear what light does to darkness. Perfect love, the God type of love, does to fear what truth does to lies. Perfect love does to fear what Jesus' blood has done to our sins. Fact number five, it must be a perfect love, a godly love, full, complete, perfect. This God, just like the Bible says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. It talks about that kind of love, the agape love. Agape and fear cannot coexist in your heart and my heart. Perfect love excludes fear. As truly as perfect union excludes every fear of separation. Can we imagine a life of fearless confidence? The Apostle John wants us nothing more than ourselves to think of the day when we meet the Lord. Not the fear of judgment, not with the fear of the consequence of what we have done, but with the confidence of his love for us, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that I could understand what love is. And I can remove by his grace all fears from my life. You and I, my brothers and sisters, must have confidence in this relationship that God wants to have with his beloved children. He wants his love to be made perfect in us. A mother with her little girl, 4-year-old daughter, were preparing to retire during the night. As the mother was about to turn off the light, the child was afraid of the dark. And then the mother did not admit, but she was a little bit afraid also, because they were alone. The two of them were alone at that night at home all by themselves. When the light was out, so the child, before saying goodnight to the mom, looked to a little space on the window and saw a glimpse of the moon outside of the window. So the child says, "Mother, is the moon God's light?" The mother says, "Oh, yes. God's light is always shining," the mother said to the child. The next question that came from the child was, "Will God blow out his light and go to sleep tonight?" And the mother said, "Oh, no, my child. God never goes to sleep. He always leaves his light on all night, and he never goes to sleep." Then in a very simplistic, childlike faith, her daughter told her this, "Well, Mom, so long as God is awake, I'm not afraid anymore." No wonder Jesus said, "Except we become like little children, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." How often you and I, brothers and sisters, allow the fear of darkness, the fear of failure, the fear of suffering, the fear of death, the fear of a virus, the fear of A, B, C, and the list goes on to rob us from our deep sleep on the comfortable and secure hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's light never goes out. He is never asleep. He's always awake for our needs. Every time we knock, He is right there for us. Perfect love is found in those who find joy in obeying God, obeying God's will. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, in the New King James, John tells us that whoever keeps his word, God's word, truly the love of God is perfected in him or her, in her. By this we know that we are in him. And in conclusion, if you have a little piece of paper, go ahead, take a piece of paper. I like to give you two acronyms for the two words that we use in today's message. There's two acronyms that we put together for you. If you're ready, take your pen and a piece of paper. Put the word love, but put it like vertical way, the word love. And for L, put the word living. For O, put original. For V, put values. For E, put eternally. Love is living original values eternally. From beginning to the end, for always, forever, the values that God has implanted in our hearts, his will, his laws, is what love is all about. And what about fear? Okay, put the F, E, A, and R. For F, put what fear is all about, false. For E, put emotions. For A, put appearing. And for R, put real. So what is fear? False emotions appearing to be real. False emotions appearing real. That's what fear is. Satan has planted this in a human heart. He has destroyed the image of God in our own eyes. So instead of love him, we fear him. But from today on, I know, and this is a very strange statement that a pastor will say to his congregation, you don't supposed to fear God. You're supposed to love God. Because as John said, inspired by God, there is no room for love and fear to be together. No matter how much you try to explain, oh, no, Pastor, fear, it means this, means that. No, fear means fear. And we do not supposed to be afraid of the God that loves us so much. If you get to know God a little bit more, the more you know God, the more love you have for this God. I have going back to my Bible many times, even after I finished my degrees in theology and in post-graduation school and everything else, all the schooling that I got did not give me a unique experience that I have with God until I went back to with the Bible. And I asked God for wisdom. And I asked God to guide me to understand him. I was searching for my father, just like I searched for my earthly father for many years until I met him. I had the honor and privilege to meet him. I am constantly searching for my father, the real father, the father Jesus Christ came to show me, the father that the Bible described as God is love. When the Bible tells me God is good all the time, I need to make sense of fear the Lord. I need to make sense of that, all the destruction that went on. And when I looked deeply into the Bible, I found Abba. I found my Heavenly Father. And I realized that he is not what Satan wants me to believe he is. He is love. And therefore, I have no reason to fear him in any aspect. I don't fear God. I love him. And because I know that he loves me more than I can ever love him, I have no reason to fear him. Brothers and sisters, Satan is causing pandemic. This is just what is happening right now in the world. It's just a little taste of the last days. You know, in the Bible says that God is controlling the four angels of destruction, containing them because his beloved children are not ready yet. But those winds of destruction, pestilence, all those things will come. That's why today's message is with the intent to build inside of you the immune. You know, love is that immune strength that your body needs to fight fear. When the virus of fear comes into penetrating to you in your spiritual life, you need to be strong enough. You need to have to create inside of you that love, that agape love, that perfect love that will defeat fear. Let me make sure that you understand correctly what I'm saying. I'm not saying for you to take off the mask and go in public and say, the pastor says we should not have fear, that love, God loved me. No, God did not make you a fool. God gave you enough understanding for you to know the difference between danger and safety. We must be cautious. Caution is not fear. Caution is a smart decision. Just because we love it fools our heart, it doesn't make us not aware of the dangers of life. I'm talking about caution and fear is two different things. Caution is when you do not allow fear to control you or anything else to control you. Fear is when something already entered your mind is already controlling you from inside out. So it is my prayer for you this afternoon, that the Lord bless you and fill your heart with love. And remember that love can only be made complete in you if you completely surrender your life to God. As the little girl said, well, as long as God is awake, I have no reason to be afraid. I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, my Father never sleeps. We can sleep, but he never does. He always will keep his light on. So don't be afraid. Let love fill your heart. Let God be in control of your life. God bless.